So going along with our theme here about Lent not being a spectator sport, we're sharing the word together. And so we have the verse numbers this week. And so I'll invite folks as they're moved to just one at a time read one verse and then stop, and the next person will go and we'll get through the scripture reading that way. So let us listen together for God's word, and anybody who's moved can start us off. The devil left him, and angels came and took care of him. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. Let's pray. Amen. So this season of Lent, this Easter walk, which began this past Ash Wednesday, is now into its fifth day. It's a rich time in the life of the church. It's a season where we're reminded by the prophet Joel to wake up and to return to God. It's a season where we try to focus on all that's good and right and true and godly and good, and to focus less on other things. It's a time for us to do some internal reflecting about our faith lives, about our relationships with God and with one another, about our behaviors, about how we are in the world, and to grow and to change. It's a season in the life of the church where we are reminded of the love that we find in the cross and the empty tomb that we're walking towards. And it's a time for us to commit or to recommit to walking the wilderness path that Jesus walked. A path that promises not fame and fortune, but that promises hunger and thirst and sorrow, that promises wilderness, that promises that we'll feel the sand beneath our feet. It promises nakedness and vulnerability. Ugh. Maybe that's a little tense. Maybe that's a little scary. And I get it. I feel that. Lent's a hard time of year. I don't like, and maybe you don't like, the thought of the wilderness and of feeling the sand beneath our feet and of being left naked and vulnerable in this dangerous world. We don't want wilderness, we want lush gardens. right? We don't want to feel the sand beneath our feet. We want thick rubber soles that protect us from all that threatens us, and emotionally, physically, spiritually. And see, that's the tension of the Lenten season. That the path that Jesus showed us how to walk and invites us to walk is precisely the path that we don't want to take. That the path that Jesus walked and invites us to walk is precisely the path that we don't want to take. So, Matthew doesn't say this, but I think it's true that Jesus didn't want to take the wilderness path any more than we do. But what Matthew does tell us is this story. That Jesus, when he was an adult, I don't know, something changed for him, something clicked. He decided to change absolutely everything about his life. And to do that, he went out and he saw John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and he was baptized, which was the seminal, life-changing, world-changing moment. It was a moment where he begins his public ministry and begins walking the path that will lead him to a cross and an empty tomb. Now, after his baptism, but before his public ministry of healing and teaching really begins, he's got something else he needs to do. In our passage this morning from Matthew 4, Matthew tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation. It was an incubation time, a cocoon time, a time of spiritual preparation. I think it was also a sparse and a spare time. I don't think Jesus took much with him. No food, really. He fasted for 40 days, we're told. Probably not a bag, probably not a change of clothes, probably not his Hebrew Bible. And in the end, I think he was left alone. Spiritually, if not physically naked and vulnerable, alone with his temptations. It was at the end of this 40 days when he's weak and hungry and thirsty and tired and vulnerable, that's when the tempter decides to come to him and gives him a series of three temptations. The first one says, hey, Jesus, you know, you're hungry. It's been 40 days. You've got the power. Just turn these stones into bread. And in a great moment of trust, Jesus says, no, I'll feast on God instead. All right, oh, trusting one, if you trust God so much, why don't you go up to the tallest place in the Jerusalem temple and throw yourself down and see if God will save you? No, Jesus says, it's not good to test God. So Jesus is a tough nut, right? He's a tough nut to crack, but the tempter is persistent, and so decides this time to pull out not a temptation, but the temptation, and to offer him nothing less than the whole world. So takes him to a high place, has him survey to look around all of the world, and says, you know, you can have all of this right now. Not to rob from it, not to control like a dictator, but you know, you can have this whole world and turn it into the kingdom of peace and justice that you so much want and that the world is so desperate for. Man, it was hard to get away from that one. And everything he wanted, everything the world needed was offered to him. All he had to do was to bow down, and I bet you he felt that desire, like in his bones, in his marrow, in his belly. But somehow he's able to find the strength and the courage, as weak as he was in that moment, to say no to it. And so he says, get away from me, Satan. I don't choose your way. The kingdom will come, but I choose God's way. I choose the way of the wilderness. I choose the way of the cross. And with that, the tempter left, went away, and the exit to the wilderness materialized, and the path leading right up to the cross was laid out for him to follow. It's a great story. There's so many essential lessons in it for our lives. We could spend a year of Sundays just focusing on Matthew 4, 1 through 11. But you know, it's and it's supposed to be a sparse and spare time. Supposed to get to the essential, So what I'd like to do is just offer you one essential lesson from this story for you to take with you on your Easter walk, that you might think about it and reflect on it in the coming 40 days leading up to Easter. So here's the lesson that I offer to you from this story. That if we want to be those who followed the one who felt the sand underneath his feet, we've got to be the same. That if we want to follow Jesus, who stripped everything away, allowed himself to be naked and vulnerable in the midst of the threatening world, and to feel the sand beneath his feet, then we've got to be those who are willing to feel the sand beneath our feet too. Matthew tells the story. The path of Jesus from baptism to the cross doesn't go around the wilderness, it goes right through it. Right? And there's a direct correlation between the wilderness and the saving cross. And in this story, in Matthew 4, Jesus shows this willingness early on in his public ministry to risk and to be vulnerable and to do hard things and to feel the sand beneath his feet. And it is a pattern that he would repeat in his life all the way to the end of his life, time and time again. He didn't shy away from conflict with the religious and political authorities. He ran to it. He didn't shy away from preaching the dangerous truth, but he shouted it from the rooftops. He didn't run away from his cross of crucifixion, but he rode a donkey right up to it. And he didn't spend his life wrapped in bubble wrap, cloistered on mountaintops, and sending other people to do his dirty work. He spent his life with his feet in the sand, risking darkness and shadow and physical discomfort and pain. And because he did that, not in spite of it, but because he did that and chose that path, death was overcome and love one for everybody, for you and me, for all of us, forever. So that's the path that Jesus took. And we are called as his followers to be those who choose that path too, who do that hard thing of feeling the sand beneath our feet. So let's get practical. What does that look like? It's a nice metaphor, Pastor, but what does that look like in real time here at the United Church of Underhill in 2017? Well, the good news is that we have Lent, right? The church for a long time has known that people don't like to go into the wilderness and they don't like to feel the sand beneath their feet for all of the obvious reasons. So we have Lent again as a way to help usher us into that way. And what that looks like here at the United Church of Underhill, it's printed in the pink bulletin insert that you have, the calendar there. But here's just a few highlights for you. First of all, one way that we'll feel the sand beneath our feet here is every Sunday between now and Easter, there are really challenging gospel readings. And we will hear those and we will engage those and be challenged by them and wrestle with. Feeling the sand beneath our feet looks too like our adult education study that I mentioned, where we'll find that place where our politics and our faith and the news headlines all converge together and risk talking about that with one another. Feeling the sand beneath our feet may look like the ancient practice that so many of us engage in of giving something up for Lent. You've heard of this, maybe you've done this before. So giving something up for Lent is a way of physically feeling the hunger and thirst, of physically engaging in the spiritual walk through the wilderness. It's a powerful ritual, and maybe it's time to revive that. Something else that folks do in the church is not only give something up, but they also add something, It's something that Christians have done the last decade or so. And so this year I'm adding, during Holy Week, a walk at Mills Riverside Park, Monday through Thursday at noontime. We'll say a quick prayer together, and we will walk around the park for a little while. And that's Monday through Thursday, and then on Friday is the Ecumenical Good Friday Walk, where we'll walk for 3 hours, stopping at different churches along the way. Again, a physical way of experiencing the hungers and thirst of the wilderness journey. The ecumenical community will help us feel the sand beneath our feet as we walk through the valley of shadow of death during Holy Week, from Palm Sunday through Good Friday. Also, during Holy Week here at the church, we'll have an opportunity to feel the sand beneath our feet at our Maundy-Thursday service of shadows, and by holding a lonely Holy Saturday vigil here in this sanctuary. So those are some of the things we have planned, but maybe you've got some other things planned. Maybe you can come and participate in this. Maybe you can find a way in this season to walk that path with Jesus, to feel the sand beneath your feet in a physical and spiritual way, and grow. I'll just close by saying that I know it's difficult. It's sorrow and darkness and dangers that we will face along the way. But there's also God's grace and mercy. We have one another for the journey, and we will certainly find the love of Christ along the way as well. So my prayer for each of us and all of us is that we will find a way to risk feeling the sand beneath our feet. In Christ's name, and for the life of the whole world. Amen.